Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumors Show. I am Dan. We have Hartley here as usual. And Hartley, we are so close. Invites went out. It's getting to be that time. Also, where is the summer gone? I feel like summer just happened like a week ago and it's already almost over.
It's time now, though. I'm ready for it. I was glad to see those invites go out.
Yeah, me too. So Apple invited members of the press, media, influencers, all of the above, to its annual iPhone event. And so, you know what time it is. It's time to dissect those Apple invites. We should have bumper music that plays when we say that, you know? We need to coin this. But all right, let's take a look at the invite. Hartley, what were your first thoughts? You know what mine was.
I think that this is probably one of the best Apple invites I've seen for years, because I think the hidden meaning behind it is fairly transparent for a change. And I think it also has multiple meanings. I think there are two that stand out. The first is obviously it's got this sort of thermal theme. It's meant to look like a thermal imaging camera on the Apple logo with points of heat and points of cool. And one of the most widely rumored parts of the iPhone 17 Pro models is a redesigned thermal system with vapor chamber cooling, which we know is something that Apple has devoted particular attention to since the iPhone 15 Pro came out, because that series of iPhones had some fairly significant problems with overheating. This was improved to a large extent with the iPhone 16 Pro models, but it looks like this year there will be far more consideration into redesigning the actual thermal hardware within the device. And one of those changes is the change to an aluminium frame and away from titanium, which dissipates heat away from the device far more effectively than titanium and glass does. Glass is pretty bad at doing that. So less glass on the device, more aluminium. That makes a lot of sense. So it's basically telling us about one of these features, a really specific feature, but a feature nonetheless.
What about some of the, okay, well, first off, my pea brain just immediately saw orange, blue. Those are the new rumored colors.
Yeah. And that's the other thing that it clearly is hinting to.
Well, I saw some people also say that it suggests infrared, and that it could be for the glucose monitoring, or not glucose monitoring, the blood pressure monitoring on the Apple Watch. So I was curious about that one. I didn't really think that immediately. I'm not sure if that makes a lot of sense, but what do you think?
I guess it's possible. I think the colors are probably the thing that stands out the most. because it's no coincidence that the most widely rumored colors for both the Pro and non-Pro iPhones, so the blue color for the iPhone 17 Air and the orange color for the iPhone 17 Pro, both of those are represented on this invite very prominently.
I would say even probably one of the darker shades here of blue is also there for the iPhone 17 Pro, because that's supposed to have a darker blue, an orange, and then we have the lighter blue in there.
So it really does reveal more, I think, than certainly many Apple event invites that we've had in recent years. Sometimes it's just kind of been a logo with some pretty lines and, I don't know, gradients and stuff. And we try and read some meaning into it where there isn't very much. I think this time there is.
I agree. I think we've had arguments with our dear friend Sam about how they don't mean anything usually, and he thinks it does, and I forget. I think he was right that one time. I'll give him his flowers again, but I think it's probably, if we go back, maybe we can do an entire show on Apple invites and the history and what was right and what was wrong. But I think if we go back through a lot of them, I feel like a lot of it is 50-50. Like, oh yeah, 50% of that was 100% true. It points to a direct big feature. And then the other 50%, I would say, is probably filled with absolutely not. It was just random, to like the other side of the spectrum being like, yeah, maybe that's a stretch. Like, I can see where you got it, but it's a stretch. And I think it's just a color, bro, and we got to move on. But yeah, that's kind of how I felt immediately at first with this. But then after seeing some posts and people really dissect, I think our own Aaron kind of jumped into some of the stuff behind the scenes and can confirm that it was, you know, pretty much what you were saying at the beginning. So You know, maybe Apple does troll us with these invites. I don't know. All right. So now that we know that the event is, in fact, actually, we haven't even talked about it. The event is happening on September 9th. So we went back to Tuesday. Thank you, Apple. Last year's Monday, I did not enjoy. And then we know that it's at 10 o'clock Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. What time is that for you? 6?
6 p.m.
6 p.m. Enjoy your extra long work day. 6 p.m. for Hartley and whatever the time is for everybody else that's listening. And yeah, it'll be at Steve Jobs Theater. I think it'll be pretty much the same as any other iPhone event, but we're going to have lots of products to talk about. And we'll dive more into that, maybe next week, do like a what to expect for the event. Sure. But this week we're kind of talking about what accessories we might get out of these products from next week. So there's been some rumors, liquid silicon cases, we'll start with. Remember how we talked about the liquid glass, like iPhone that might happen? Is that what this is? Did someone misconstrue what those rumors or leaks were coming out of Cupertino and heard of a phone that was going to be liquid glass, but in fact, it's a case that might have a liquid glass effect?
I think that the liquid glass is different to liquid silicone. So if there is a liquid glass case, that is probably going to be a rebranded clear case. That's not rumored. That's just my personal speculation, because if you take a look at those clear cases right now as they exist, in direct sunlight, they do already exhibit a kind of iridescent quality. And if that could be amplified, it could lead to a more unique aesthetic that's a little bit more interesting than just a normal clear case, of which there are loads on the market. Liquid silicone just seems to be potentially a rebrand for Apple's existing silicone cases. So those cases are currently marketed as, I think they are silicone MagSafe cases. That's how Apple positions them. But if it's trying to play up sort of luxury materials, giving it a more, I suppose, a more marketable name in the form of liquid silicone, especially if Apple can say, oh, well, it's this new kind of silicone that's more durable and is made with this different manufacturing process, that may go a little bit further. Whether it'll happen or not, I actually don't know. When we first heard this rumor, it did seem a little bit sketchy, but we keep hearing this name, liquid silicone. Who knows whether that will actually come to fruition?
Yeah, I think it's a little strange too. I just, you know, I don't know that I entirely would be interested in a new lineup of silicone cases, but if it was something that would have like a liquid glass effect, or if it's like kind of got, I don't even know if it's just marketing towards, you know, the iOS 26 theme, I guess that's kind of cool. We do need some new cases though, and it's time that we kind of switch it up a little bit. And there are some other cases that are rumored that sound really intriguing. Whatever happened to fine woven? Is that dead in favor for what's rumored now? I mean, no one's even cared about fine woven because they were not good, but.
So as a little recap, fine woven debuted alongside the iPhone 15 lineup just about 2 years ago. And this was Apple's replacement for leather, so it could reach its environmental goals. It was phasing out leather, no more leather watch bands or AirTag accessories or iPhone cases. Everything would move to this new material, fine woven. And people hated it. People absolutely hated it because it was it aged so badly, so quickly. Any little mark or scratch or stain showed up on that instantly and virtually did not go away. And you could go into any Apple store around the world and take a look at these cases out on display, and all of them would just be completely wrecked. And they got terrible reviews for that reason. And if the objective of a case is to protect your phone, it may protect it perfectly well, but it would be nice to not have it look just awful. So what Apple did is, this product basically was a failure. So Apple took it off sale with the debut of the iPhone 16 last year, and it had no luxury case offering other than silicone. It had no more expensive case at the price point that it used to exist at, which I think was $50 or $60, just the silicone cases as of last year. And fine woven only continued for some of the Apple Watch bands and on AirTag accessories and on the MagSafe wallets. Yeah. But other than that, it's pretty much disappeared. So this year, Apple is now rumored to reintroduce a woven material alternative to leather. And that supposedly this year is going to be called tech woven, not fine woven, tech woven. And
I don't love that.
It makes sense to me in the sense that fine woven leans toward luxury and something that is delicate. It's even in the name. Whereas tech woven, it doesn't stand for technology. It stands for technical, as in a technical material, which we associate with things like backpacks and waterproof materials and raincoats and stuff that you actually would require a hard-wearing material for. So I think that is quite effectively named, actually. But the proof will really be in the pudding about whether it is really a lot more durable. Surely it will be.
I mean, fine woven lived up to its name. Since you said it's delicate, it certainly was a delicate case. It could really not withstand much of daily use, but it was not a good case. I didn't mind it on the wallet as much, but
it did seem to be slightly different based on where it was, but the way it was even attached to those cases, it would peel at the edges. It was just not good. It had a sort of suede feeling. It felt like a very fine grain. We do have some leaked pictures of the tech woven cases, supposedly, and they do look different. So it looks like the actual weave is thicker. Fine woven, the actual weave was very small. The threads used in it were very small, but tech woven looks like the fibers are much larger. Which I imagine would increase its durability. And it looks like in some of them, Apple has integrated two different colors to give it this kind of different appearance.
I was going to say, so there's two pictures. You can go to Mac Rumors and find them. The top down shot of like all the cases spread out, that one, honestly, it looks exactly like fine woven to me from like a first glance. I'm like, yeah, it doesn't look any different. But then when you see the zoom in like angle of the side, I think that's really where you can tell where some of the differences are. And it looks to be more durable, but how am I supposed to really know that until I get my hands on it? One of the things that I am interested in is that this will include, apparently, metallic buttons with improved tactile feedback. I will say that was not a good portion of the case last time either. It was very difficult. But that's a good thing here. And there's also a camera control button too. So it looks like it's going to be improved there.
I'm quite interested by these cases. I was very disappointed by fine woven, but I think there is a gap in Apple's product lineup for a case that is not a clear case, is not a silicone case, which sometimes can get a little bit grubby as well. It can grab onto your pocket a little bit too easily. I think a luxury fabric case could be quite successful, but it just needs to be hard wearing enough.
Now, one of the interesting things about this is that apparently there are two small holes at the bottoms, like pins that you can attach the rumored lanyard that can attach to it. This is interesting. Like Apple's had a lanyard case before, right? Wasn't that like weird pocket one that you'd like slide the phone in? Didn't that have a lanyard on the side?
Yeah, it did. That was the weird case for it was somewhere between, I think, like the iPhone 7 or the iPhone XS. It was in that region.
Go ahead and explain more about
a leather pocket with a little cutout that showed the time, and it had a lanyard. But I think about five people bought those.
Me being one of them.
So the new lanyard is effectively the lanyard loops are going to exist on both the silicone and the tech woven cases in the two bottom corners of the case, with some little holes that you could thread a lanyard through. And lanyards have really taken off for smartphones over the last sort of 18 months. They've become really popular as devices have got larger and heavier. And also in a lot of major cities now, people are concerned about having their device stolen out of their hands. So this provides an extra level of security if you're, you know, taking photos or, you know, for, there are a lot of people that like them for different reasons. Kids really like them. You know, some older people really like them as well for some more security when using a large device. They have become quite popular. So it's not surprising to see that Apple is moving with that trend.
Would you ever buy a lanyard case?
I would actually, but I would not use the lanyard all the time. I wouldn't use it when I was at home. It would be a thing to stop me, you know, losing my device when I'm out.
I just don't think I could do it. I don't even use a case now. I feel like that's like going from one extreme to the other. Like there are some cases that I do enjoy, mostly the ones with, I don't want to say the name because we're doing a like sponsored ad on it, but I do really like the case that they sent. So it's like, you know, but the cases that have like, the metal like clips that come out that are stands, those are great. Like so much useful, you know, functionality out of that. I can prop it up vertically. I can prop it up horizontally. Then you can like stick your fingers through and it becomes like a little pop socket type deal. Like that to me, if I was to get a case on my phone, that would be the one that I would want. A lanyard one though, I just feel like that's too much. And by the way, the, what is it? The MagSafe saddle brown iPhone 12 case.
iPhone 12, okay.
The leather sleeve. I don't know if they made it for other... I feel like that was a one and done thing.
Yeah, it was.
So it's probably... Yeah, it was called the leather sleeve and it was for... All I'm seeing are pictures for the Pro. Oh, no, they had it for the Mini. So that was for all phones. You can get one on eBay right now for $9.99 if anybody is... interesting.
It did not cost that when it debuted.
No, it was probably over 50, probably not.
I think it was $100 at least.
That's disgusting. But I did like the idea that you could kind of see your time through it. That was nice. You know what was the problem with that case now that I think more about it? It was impossible to get out like easily.
Oh, yes, because it had MagSafe to hold the phone in the sleeve.
Yeah. So it's like you really needed to stretch it out. And then once you stretched it out, like you feel like, oh, this might fall out now. So I can understand why that was a one and done. It also probably didn't sell very well. So hopefully these cases kind of have a better lifespan. Certainly the last few go arounds for Apple have not been great. Did we talk about the fact that there might be a crossbody strap for this?
So Apple is not actually calling it a lanyard.
That's what they're calling. Okay.
They're calling it a crossbody strap. So,
but that doesn't make sense.
Apple, when it put the lanyard loop on the AirPods Pro, Apple actually didn't make a lanyard. It offered third-party ones. You can go into an Apple store right now and go and buy some little lanyards that have supposedly been designed for the AirPods Pro. But realistically, you can thread anything through there. Which is really good. It looks like you will be able to do that with the new cases because ultimately they're just holes on the case. You can thread whatever you like through. So this is great for third-party accessories or if you have an existing lanyard that you already like and use. The difference is that this time around, it looks like Apple's going to offer their own version because on the backs of these cases, the boxes for these tech-woven cases, it mentions by name a crossbody strap. With capitalization that suggests that this is actually an Apple product. Thing. And today, as we're recording this, some images of this strap have come out as well. And it has a supposedly a magnetic design. So the strap sort of has this magnetic core that enables it to magnetize together and onto the device more easily. I don't fully understand how this actually helps attachment to the device, but apparently that's what it does.
I do like that it's easy to do and it's magnet based, but I am just as skeptical as you are. I also don't know why we're still calling this a crossbody thing because this is definitely not going across your body. Or maybe it, I guess it could, but
I think that maybe there will be different. There may be different sizes. I don't know. And it looks like the material is going to be virtually the same as the woven nylon material that is used on the Apple Watch Sport Loops, which is a really nice material, actually. It doesn't wear enormously well, but it does feel really comfortable.
I do. I that's what I wear right now. I do like those. I'm just imagining people wearing phones like on their chest right here with like a, you know, gone are the days of the Lululemon crossbodies. And now we're going to have iPhones there. I guess it'll make it easier if you want to do some recording, POV recording. I don't know. See how stable that is. All right. And so another big accessory that we kind of need to jump to is AirPods, which are really picking up steam. Because I thought we were kind of like, yeah, AirPods Pro 3 are going to be coming, but might not be at this event. You know, at first, that's kind of where I thought it was going to be. Now it seems like this probably is going to be like, what if you had to put a percentage on whether or not this was going to be unveiled in the next 2 weeks? What do you think?
Let's say maybe 60%.
Oh, that's less than I thought. I thought you were going to say like 80.
The only reason I'm hesitant is because we still haven't heard an overwhelming amount about it. We've had no leaked pictures of it. And until about a week ago, it was still up in the air whether we would see this yet. So I imagine on balance, it probably will appear at the September event. If it doesn't appear at the September event, it will appear at an October event. And if it doesn't appear at an October event, then it's going to be in a press release by the end of the year. But really, the significant news here that moved things forward was Mark Gurman, who had been skeptical of the device's release this year, as far as I remember, said this weekend just gone that it would be coming this fall. So whether that's September or October, I don't know. But in combination with the rumors we're hearing about cases for the AirPods Pro 3, it looks like it probably is coming sooner rather than later. AirPods usually do come at iPhone events.
It does make sense to do that at the iPhone event. I'm starting to think that it's more and more, you know, going to be the thing. But now, you know, you said 60. Now I don't feel as good about it. I was thinking we're closer to 80. Here's the thing, though. Here's the reason why I feel like we're not seeing any leaked in. I just feel like there's really not that much. I mean, the case is going to get smaller. The case is basically going to become the AirPods 4 case, right? No more physical button on the back. Your pairing light is gone, correct? That's going to be...
Yeah, so it's hidden under the enclosure of the case, just like it is for the AirPods 4.
Yeah. So you'll just...
But the size reduction is really small, so we've had two reports.
I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be the same size as the AirPods 4, but like the changes to the AirPods 4 case is kind of the changes that we're going to get here.
And it will supposedly be a fraction smaller, but it is very marginal. So that's a slight design change. Supposedly the earbuds themselves are getting some slight design tweaks.
But I feel like none of it's enough, right? Like if it was a massive change, like no more stem, I feel like that would leak. But anything else kind of feels like it's probably just not enough for people to believe that it's a leak, you know? I don't know. I don't know how that world really works, but if I got an image of new AirPods Pro 3s and they looked exactly like the 2s or not indistinguishable enough, then I feel like I would, I don't know. Not many people are going to believe me when I go send it out, you know?
That's
so
a fair point.
That's my thought on it in hopes to, cause I'm ready for new AirPods Pro. I know you are ready for new AirPods.
I'm dying for new AirPods Pro.
Yeah. So like I want this to happen. And then all the other major changes, improved ANC. We can't see that. Heart rate monitoring. We can't see that. Like those are things that we cannot visually see. So yeah, it's kind of hard to like show that out there. There's no new renders. There's nothing. But I'm hoping that it does come because this will be a good update. And hopefully there's some audio changes too. Like, have we heard anything else about...
I mean, you would expect it to contain a next generation chip, which will enable more advanced computational audio, which is what will enable better ANC. And in presumably to actually run some of these heart rate monitoring algorithms on the device as well, it will need to be a little bit more powerful, also perhaps more efficient to preserve battery life. I don't think it's going to be a life-changing upgrade with the AirPods Pro 3, especially if you have the AirPods Pro 2. But if you're a customer like me that has the original version of the AirPods Pro 2, and they are now absolutely on their last legs, they are basically not usable, the battery on them is terrible, they have a series of problems and really need to be replaced, I'll be very happy to have something new with Apple's latest technology, and the heart rate monitoring should be pretty cool as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that if it works the same way as it works on the Beats, the Power Beats, I don't know that I'd ever really use that, because I don't often do any kind of physical activity where, if I stop the sentence there, I feel like most people would be like, yeah, you don't often do any physical activity. That's mean. Don't say that. But I know you're thinking it right now. I have been, by the way. I have been trying to better myself. But anyways, I don't often do any kind of physical activity, going for, a run or going to the gym or anything, without my Apple Watch. So like, it kind of defeats the purpose, because it's going to default, I believe, if I remember correctly, if you have your Apple Watch, it's going to go to that. It's not going to monitor anything. And you have to it's a whole thing. So I just feel like if there was a different way or a more useful way for when that would be used, but is it probably just going to be the same way as the Power
Beats? Imagine it's going to be the exact same technology, considering that Apple engineered that. It's going to probably be pretty much the same components.
Right.
But it would be nice if it did work alongside the Apple Watch and average out that data, but it may not be worth the...
Hold on now. Beats told me that they engineered that. They did borrow the sensor from the Apple Watch, but this is a Beats engineered thing. So just want to clarify that this was not an Apple thing. Now, personally, I don't know that I believe that as much, and I feel like Apple already kind of had the groundwork going, and maybe they wanted to test it out in the wild with Beats. I don't know. Or I really don't know how that works.
Dan, is what a coincidence that this company that Apple owns just so happens to introduce a heart rate sensor the same year that Apple does.
There's really not much else. The only other thing that we can bring up is that the iPhone 17 Pro could feature, stop us if you heard this before, reverse wireless charging. I feel like this is one of those features, again, these rumors that have been on again, off again. It was hot for a little bit, then I think it cooled off. Now I feel like it's the flavor of the week again. It's really ramping up and hearing a lot of it. What do you think? What do you put a percentage on for this feature?
Ooh, I'm going to say 40%. I'm not
going 20.
I'm not wholly convinced of this. We've heard this so many times now. And Google, if I understand rightly, just removed reverse wireless charging from the latest Pixel devices because it has G2, which is based on MagSafe. So if it won't work with MagSafe, Apple will have had to have engineered a solution to get around that, which would be quite innovative. Maybe they have done that, and maybe that's a very good feature to show off alongside the new AirPods Pro. Maybe it only works with the new AirPods Pro. But
interesting.
I think we will get it one day. Will this year be the year? I don't know.
I just feel like, in my mind, I want to be like, who cares? Other companies have done this for forever, and I don't even know. Like, I know Samsung phones still do it, I think, and people seem to like that. But also, when Apple releases this, you just know you're going to walk around one day and just see a bunch of people charging AirPods on the back of their phones. So, I know it'll pick up and it'll be marketed a lot and become a big thing. But I just feel like if they're not doing it now, at this point, we should just move forward, move on. We're done with it.
It might not be until MagSafe gets some more iteration, but
yeah,
Apple is doing a lot of work with the rear of the device, with the thermals this year.
Well, that's what said it might be difficult to do. So that's why I'm still like, I think it's a 20% chance, if that. But we keep hearing about it.
It would be a nice feature.
I agree. I want it.
I think that the iPhone 17 Pro models are shaping up to be a pretty good upgrade. Would add to that.
From like a 16 or a 2 year thing? 2 year. What's the gap level?
I think that you can always have the debate about whether it is worth it a year later. That sure. is very subjective. But what I will say is, if you compare to previous years, the difference between the iPhone 15 Pro to 16 Pro, I think the difference from 16 Pro to 17 Pro is going to be much bigger.
Yeah, I agree.
And probably even from 14 Pro to 15 Pro, this will be bigger.
I agree. I feel like the last, even though there was a big change in material from 14 to 15 Pro, I feel like now we're going back. Well, we're going back to the basics, because that was stainless steel to titanium to aluminum. Whew. Okay, so I feel like the last three iPhones have been very minor.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I would say that probably this is the most significant upgrade in terms of an annual upgrade, probably since the iPhone 12. Mm-hmm. Because a number of features you're getting here, the telephoto camera should be really significant and more useful than the ultra wide, especially if we can crop in that sensor. We're getting an upgrade to the front facing camera for the first time in years. I mean, that may even have last been upgraded on the iPhone 12, as far as I remember. Then there's the whole new redesigned chassis, the new material. There's a host of technologies here that I think make for a larger upgrade than something like last year, when we basically just got the camera control and a slightly larger display.
Hey, don't you dare talk ill about the button that's solely used for launching the camera.
Well, we have had some reports now that the camera control is either going to be going away completely next year,
of course,
or it is going to be significantly pared down to be basically just another action button. So this sort of swiping gesture stuff may just be removed, and it may just be a more conventional two-step button, which apparently will help cut costs, because right now the camera control apparently costs Apple a huge amount of money to implement, and it also isn't very good.
It's okay for Apple to just take some, like, take your medicine and admit that other companies had a good idea, and just make the power button the double tap to launch into the camera app like every Android phone. I don't remember which Android phone
Apple
did it
Pay.
First.
That's for Apple Pay on the iPhone.
That's true. Well, then
I think another action button that is camera focused, that you can't map to anything else, you keep it as a camera, and maybe it is located better for if you do want to take landscape pictures, and it has a different level of pressure sensitivity to other buttons, does make sense. I quite like that idea. What I don't like is this sort of weird, like, semi-haptic but not haptic with swiping gestures, and everything is slower than touching the screen. It does feel like a gimmick, and I think it is actually probably the single most prominent gimmicky feature that the iPhone has maybe ever had. It is like the touch bar of the iPhone.
Make it three taps, then. Make it three clicks. That's currently the accessibility menu that you get. And I don't want to take away from people that truly use that and need it. So I don't know. Maybe route it to something. I don't know. I know we have the action button. I'm fine with another button. I'm fine with keeping that button there and just making it a legit button and not like a what it is now. But I do really enjoy that on every Android phone, for the most part. I do know now that you just double tap and it becomes the camera. And I don't remember who did it first. I feel like it was Google who did that first, and then everyone followed. But like,
I mean, it is also worth considering that out of the box, and there are three ways to launch a camera just from the lock screen, mm-hmm. Which seems really unnecessary. You've got the camera control, you've got the default toggle on the lock screen, and then you also can swipe. This is a little bit unnecessary. And while I now use camera control to get to the camera faster, or I say faster, actually, what I'm trying to make is I don't think it is faster than just swiping there. I don't think it really saves me any time. I've just got used to trying to make myself use it.
it's not faster, probably from a scientific point of view. Like if someone was to time it and you did it in a way that it was controlled and it makes sense and you got an official timing, it's probably not faster, but it's faster for you because it's what your brain thinks of first because you've mapped it. So if you take the time to map it to just be the swipe, then you don't need the button. But also like the point of the button is that you pull it out of your pocket and you know where to go. Like you have something to feel for. You can't really do that with the front of the screen.
That's true. And it probably does remain slightly faster for that reason. And that's why I wouldn't say the button should be totally removed. But I do think it needs to be redesigned. I think it's poorly implemented.
I'm a big fan of the power button. But then you brought it up about Apple Pay. And now I'm trying to figure out ways for Apple Pay to be moved. And a part of me wonders, I do not know how NFC and what capabilities and all of that and tap to pay. I don't know the technology behind that well enough to know if this is a thing, but is there a way for your phone to sense that you are near a payment terminal about to make a payment? And that's when the button becomes kind of like known via software that, okay, instead of launching the camera here, this person's trying to make a payment because they're close enough to an NFC, tap to pay, touch, whatever, to initiate the wallet instead of the camera. Is that a possibility?
I think with newer versions of NFC, which are not yet widely implemented, that probably is possible. Sure. And if every payment terminal implemented ultra wideband, then definitely it would be possible. But I think this is, again, something probably for the future.
Well, yeah. I mean, how long has it taken for every payment terminal to become a tap to pay thing in general? Because I would say up until the last 2 years, it was very rare for like your everyday store here where I live in the suburbs to have tap to pay. Now I would say I am about 95% of the way there and never using my card. And the times that I do use my card, it's often me assuming that this place doesn't have tap to pay when they do. And I just go and take my wallet out. And then I'm like, oh, I could have just done Apple Pay. But all right. Well, that is our show for today. We have accessories looming large for these iPhones that are also looming and coming around the corner any day now. Hartley, how excited are you for this event?
I am fairly excited.
Okay.
I am excited for the iPhone. I'm less excited for the Apple Watch. I am pretty excited for AirPods Pro, but that's just because I really need a new pair. iPhone 17 Pro, I think, is where it is at this year. And I guess the iPhone 17 Air.
I'm really excited for the Air. I'm excited to see it. There's a big military plane, by the way, that just drove by, flew by. And any other time, I would be a little concerned as to why that is so low in here. But it's Labor Day weekend, so the air show. So all these fighter jets and stuff are flying, which, by the way, almost caused me to die yesterday on my way home from the airport because I didn't realize they were practicing and forgot what time it was. And a fighter jet literally flew past me at however fast they go above on the freeway on a bridge just right over. And I like looked to my right for a second, and then when I looked, it was there, and it scared me to the point where I thought I was going to like slam on my brakes and cause a pileup on the freeway. So be careful out there if you're in an area where there's lots of air shows going on. And we'll catch everybody in the next episode.